Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you were a subscriber, if you already were, and you had noticed the schedule that we publish in our newsletter every year, the people who are going to be on the show in the coming week, you would have seen that Diane Kennedy, CPA, was going to be with us this week, and she's here with us now. Diane Kennedy is a certified public accountant, and she's a top real estate author and investing expert. She holds seminars talking to people all over the country, halfway around the world, about how to legally and ethically minimize their tax obligations. She's also the founder and the owner of DKA, a leading tax strategy and accounting firm. She's the author of a beautiful book I'm holding in my hand, Loopholes of the Rich. Diane, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hi, Diane. It's good to have you here on the show. And Diane, one of the things that I know you like to talk about is how to help regular folks like me and like the folks in the audience, how to understand where the advantages are that some of the rich folks have that they paid lots and lots of money for to find out how to avoid tax, not to evade it, but to avoid tax. And that's what you do in your book, don't you?
Exactly. And I love your program, Small Business Advocate. I mean, this is really where the secret is. This is the secret the rich know, because it's not how much money you make, it's how you make your money. If you set up a small business or invest in real estate, or even better, do both, you've got loopholes available to you, the same ones the rich can take. The difference is that up until now, only they were the ones who could afford the tax help to tell them where they all were.
Well,
that's what Loopholes of the Rich is about.
Well, and it's just a matter of knowing that they exist. In most cases, I love the famous story that Judge Louis Brandeis, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, he made this quote, folks, and Diane, I know you're familiar with it. He said there are two bridges he can take when he goes home. One of them is a toll bridge. It gets him home quicker. The other one is a free bridge that he has to take a little longer way around to use. And he said, if I go across the bridge that has a toll without paying, he said, that's tax evasion.
Yes.
He said, if I take a little longer to go home and I take the free bridge, he said, that's tax avoidance. He said, for my tax evasion, I should be penalized or arrested. He said, for my tax avoidance, I should be committed. And he said that the reason that he was pointing this out is he said, the tragedy is in today's life, a lot of people don't even know that the free bridge exists. And that's what your book's all about, isn't it, Diane?
Exactly. What a great story.
The free bridge.
Yeah, the free bridge. The difference is that, you know, we're now February 2nd, and people are thinking about, how can I pay less tax for 2004? And, I mean, there's a few things, a few new tips this year. But basically, in order to take advantage of the loopholes, you need to be looking out long-term. Now is the time to be thinking about, how can you start planning for 2005? Mm-hmm. And maybe this is the year to start a small business.
Right, exactly. All right, so you actually think having a small business is a good tax loophole.
I think it's the best one going. You know, I see so many people, Jim, that have reached the point where their pensions are gone, or, you know, they're concerned, are we going to have any money when we retire? And so they're starting to think about, what can I do to make some extra money? They start a little business, and then they discover all these things that they used to pay for with after-tax dollars now become before-tax expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your car, maybe you pay your kids to do legitimate work in the business, so they're learning skills, plus you're paying them, instead of an allowance, you've got a tax deduction.
Right.
Your home office, the story goes on and on.
Well, I, and of course, I don't recommend people start small businesses just for taxes, but that is one of the benefits. And one of the things you write about in your book that I've been saying a long time is the advantages, one of the big advantages of owning a business is the ability to own real estate and yourself and to rent that business, that real estate, to your business. I call it the stealth benefit of small business ownership.
Oh, that's a great one. You know, and I want to touch on what you just said, though. You don't just start a business just to take a tax write-off, and absolutely don't. In fact, the IRS has got 9 things they're looking for to make sure you haven't done just that.
But you don't have a sham business.
Exactly. I mean, that's where we get into that tax evasion that's wrong. But if you truly have started a business with business purpose and the other 9 things, you've got good record keeping, you truly are trying to make a profit, even if you don't make a profit in the first few years, you've now got a business that you can take the deductions on. But you're absolutely right. The next step is that instead of paying rent to someone else, pay rent to yourself by buying a building. You've now got another asset that's appreciating for you.
That's one of the first things I tell people is if you think that where you are or where you could be is a place that you're going to be for a while, don't rent, own that building. And you know, I tell people, Diane, I don't know what you think about this, but I tell people, if you want to give yourself a raise, make sure that you're to see if you're charging yourself enough rent for that building.
You know,
and pay yourself more rent instead of giving yourself a W-2 raise.
I absolutely agree, because if you're doing the W-2 wage, you're going to pay more payroll taxes.
Right.
Whereas if you get the rent, you can offset that rent by depreciation. I mean, you can get to the point where we call it passive income, where that income that's flowing through to you from rental property, you might pay zero tax on it completely because you can offset it with other expenses.
I know lots of families talking about the stealth benefit of real estate for a small business. Diane, I know lots of families that started a business 40 years ago. They operated it, mom and pop did, and they did a great job. But by the time they retired, the industry they were in had matured, and the truth is the business wasn't worth all that much.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of people who wanted to buy that business. But guess what? They were sitting on $10 million worth of real estate that they didn't, and they hadn't really even thought about it, probably.
Oh, what an interesting story. Because
over
a lot
time, they just accumulated, you know, this piece of land, that piece of land, and all of a sudden, it's in the most important corner in the city.
Yeah, I love that, because that's a way of using your business to actually create wealth.
Right.
You know, generally, when you look at the very wealthiest people in our country, they've either made their money or they hold their wealth in real estate. So that's a nice side business to put into that. The business, though, is key, because it gets the money going. It's
right.
The way you start making some money.
That's
in
where
a
the
way
cash
that you're not
from.
Dependent on someone else.
Right. That's where the cash flow comes from.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. What are some other things that we can do? All right. Let's say that we've got our business, and it may be a little home-based business, or it may be, you know, a distribution company with 50 employees. What are some things that we can do to avoid taxes?
Well, I think the first thing is for that business, take a look at what business structure you've actually got. This is one of the challenges that I see with a lot of people is they kind of default to what's called a sole proprietorship.
Right.
You're going to pay extra tax, and you have more chance of an audit in that structure.
Diane, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back to that, folks, with Diane Kennedy, CPA, the author of Loopholes of the Rich. Right after these messages, it's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 23 after. It's the Atlanta Rhythm Session there. Nice little song. Diane Kennedy is with us. She's a certified public accountant. She is the author of Loopholes of the Rich, How the Rich Legally Make More Money and Pay Less Taxes. And she's been telling us how to do that. And she's got more to tell us, too. Diane, you actually talk about, in your book, you talk about how you call it 5 steps to financial freedom. Can you talk to us about those a little bit?
You know, I'd love to. What I find a lot of people, when they first get going, maybe in starting their business or investing in real estate or even just looking at their financial plan, they get a little lost. There's so much information. Well, that's what the whole 5 steps is about. What's a way to approach this? First of all, take a look at, we call it the starting point. S is for starting point. So where are you right now? Take a good assessment. This can be the hardest thing for some people to do, but you need to look at, okay, what is my income? What are my expenses? What are my liabilities? Next step is team. You know, believe it or not, all of us have people around us that give us advice that we listen to. Take a good hard look at the advice you're getting and the people you're getting it from. For example, maybe you're getting all your tax advice from the neighbor over the fence, and they have no idea on taxes. So you need to take a look at your team.
Mm-hmm.
Next point, next is then to evaluate where you are right now. What are some things you can change? Where do you want to go? And then from that, you come up with what are you going to be your next path? What are the next things you're going to do, the steps you'll take? And then finally, we're back to starting point, a reassessment. What are the next things to do? What worked, what didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
I think that works kind of for life in general.
Exactly.
I think a lot of times, though, people don't put enough emphasis on who their team is. They listen and take advice from, I think, the wrong people.
Well, and who would you say needs to be in our team?
You know, I think you need to have a good mentor role model. I mean, I would recommend everybody who's got a small business that listens to your program consistently, because you've always got great guests on. These are people that can spark your idea. So kind of that role model there through your show. Additionally, you need a CPA, you need an attorney.
Absolutely.
Probably need a bookkeeper, or unless you're good at that, keeping your own records. I think an insurance agent is somebody good to have in your business
no
as well.
No question about it. And back to this bookkeeper thing, you said, unless you can do it yourself, if you're the owner of a business, even if you're the best at it, I don't recommend that you do that yourself. I recommend you get somebody to do that for you, because that's not, keeping the books is not where the vision is.
You know, Jim, I really agree with you on that.
You got to have those numbers to base the vision on, but you got to keep your head, your eyes out in front, and you don't need your eyes down looking at the books. Building the books, not managing with them. That's what you got to do. But doing the books, that's somebody else's job.
Yeah, you know, it's that old thing: you can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
And that's where people get stuck sometimes, is in the detail of it. And then you're absolutely right. You need to be able to understand a financial statement. So when you look at it, what is the information that I'm learning from that? But not really, you know, whether this should be a debit and a credit, and what column does it need to be in.
But back talking about speaking of managing, understanding financial statements, I think that's one of the biggest mistakes small business owners make, and one of the biggest reasons why they fail is because they're not producing regular financial statements, and when they get them, they don't know how to read them. And if you told me, okay, you got an hour with every small business owner, this is the next hour, and you only get to talk to them about one thing, it would be about that I would do. That's what I would talk to them about.
You know, and I'll even take it another step further, because the thing that's interesting is if you start keeping financial statements, that means you've got good record keeping. And
right.
The IRS is going to actually benefit you if you do that. I mean, if you get audited and you've got great record keeping, you have nothing to fear. So by being
especially if you can slap it on them the minute they ask for it, that impresses them. And that's when they say, hey, these guys got it together. We're going to go somewhere else.
You know, that's interesting. That's a tactic I've used with clients of mine that have been audited. We immediately fax over the general ledger and financial statement so they can see we've got it. They ask the question, we've got it at our fingertips. It's amazing how fast those audits can go, and they're done, and there's no problem.
And when they're auditing people, they're looking for opportunities to collect taxes. If you've got your cornflakes together, they don't see opportunity there, do they?
No, and isn't that interesting? You'll be a better business owner. You're going to make more money. You're going to have less risk from the IRS and pay less taxes.
Yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it, Diane? You know, the other thing, Diane, that I know you see and that I talk about all the time is small business owners not understanding the difference between cash flow and accounting.
Right. You know, the cash flow really is a lifeblood of the company. The challenge sometimes people get, though, I mean, I hear this from people. It's like, well, I don't have any money in my bank account, therefore I don't owe any taxes. And, boy, that could be a real problem, because cash doesn't always have anything to do with the income that you
That's
make from
right.
the company. And that gets back to understanding how the business really works. And just like you plan with your financial statements so you can go get a loan, your financial statements look strong, you need to plan for your tax strategy as well. Like I said, now's the time to be doing it for 2005.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds. What's the first thing you would have us do?
I would say actually the first thing to do is go take a look at my website, taxloopholes.com.
All right.
I've got a couple of things for 2004 that you could maybe possibly make some changes
still
for your 2004
tax. Things you can still do.
Huh. Yep. And then other than that, take a look at your business structure for your business, get a good projection where your income is going to go, and do some planning.
The book is called Loopholes of the Rich. It's available wherever books are sold, right, Diane? Yeah,
absolutely, yep.
And can they find out more about it at your website?
They can, taxloopholes.com.
Folks, it's a national bestseller. It sold over 200,000 copies. That tells you it's a good book. And give us your website again.
It's taxloopholes.com.
All right. Diane, will you come back another day?
I would love to. Thank you, Jim.
We'll have a good time next time, too. Thanks for being here. Diane Kennedy, ladies and gentlemen, she's the author of Loopholes of the Rich. Quick break, right back with our good friend Joe Condrell after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM. and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.